What a wonderful day to get into God's Word together. Take your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. We visited this last week, and we're going to revisit it again this week. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, and in verse 12. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, or the children of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Today's teaching is entitled Inheritance and the Glory. So we'll be looking at this. It was Jesus Christ who gave us the power, or the right, the authority, the privilege of being children of God. When we pray, we looked at praying or addressing our Heavenly Father like that, Father. We can do so with the compliments we give to Jesus Christ, because it's by his work that we get to do that, where he genuinely is our Father, and we really are his children. The world will bang away at us so many times and proclaim our insignificance and our irrelevance, but it's a truth. It is the truth that God is our Father and that we are his children. And we'll be looking at one of the benefits of being his children is that we have an inheritance. If you knew you were going to receive an inheritance, that might make our day a little bit nicer. You think you got your rich unbeknownst to you, great aunt, and she's going to leave you an inheritance. But here we've got our Heavenly Father, and we are promised an inheritance. And you could think about, well, inheritance. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's property. But it's totally so much better than that. And we'll be looking at that. So now that we see here, once again, that we are the children of God, please go to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8, that wonderful, wonderful chapter of Romans. Romans chapter 8. And we'll start in verse 14, Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. This word here for the spirit of adoption, it really means to be placed as sons. To be placed as sons. And it's a wonderful word because it emphasizes the formal legal rights of a child. A child. That we are the children of God. And if, verse 17, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. Joint heirs with Christ. Joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, we may be also glorified together, that we may be glorified together. And in verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us, or upon us, or with us. Pick your preposition, but it's glory. It's glory. So referring to in here, you have two things. You have the sons of God, we're called, and then it says the children of God. And there's two different aspects. The sons of God would be, when we look at this, or the child of God would refer to the natural relationship of a child to a parent, and it's a relational offspring of God. God Almighty in an intimate relationship, and the son or the spirit of adoption placing as sons refers to that formal legal status and the privileges that come along with that. And I think how wonderful that is that both of those are present in this section, where we are indicating that we have a joint inheritance. We are joint heirs with Christ, Jesus Christ himself, and we have a shared inheritance with our Christ, and it's one of glory that we share, and it's a full sharing when we have a joint checking account. That doesn't mean 50-50. It means everything that it is, we share. And our joint inheritance with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it's almost too good to even believe that we have a joint inheritance with him, that we share in his inheritance. And as we'll see, we'll be sharing in his glory. The hairometer just popped up on the old arm when I think about that, that we'll be sharing in his glory. Please turn your Bibles to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. When we think about being children of God, and we think about being heirs of God, and then we think about being joint heirs with Jesus Christ, and we will be sharing in that glory as of the only begotten Son, it just builds and builds and builds. And this inheritance is a promise, and is being promised to us by he who is always faithful and brings his promises to pass. All the promises in Christ are brought to pass by our God, and it's yea and it's amen. There's no debate. If it will happen, will it? Should it happen? It's going to happen. It's yea and it's amen. And in Ephesians chapter 1, we'll start in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Guess who he is to us? Our God and Father. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places, or in the heavenly realm in Christ. Accordingly, he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. There should be a period there. Then, in love, having predestinated us or prepared us unto the adoption of children. There's that word again. Once again, it's a placing as a son, and it's formal and it's legal. And it's a status. I've seen one scholar actually had it translated son place. Son place. Adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Why did we receive such blessing? It's the good pleasure of his will. I think about when God is speaking to Moses and he says to Moses, I will be gracious to whom I am gracious, and I will show mercy unto whom I show mercy. And it's up to him, and it's a good pleasure of his own will. And we can just say, thank God that you are showing your favor upon us, and you have showed us so great mercy in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we have today. And it's a glory. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, highly favored in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And we saw back in verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, the riches of his grace, wherein, verse 8, he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, once again, according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself. I mean, he did it on his own idea. No one was twisting his arm. No one was manipulating him. The good pleasure of his own will in his own purposes. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, where Jesus Christ will be head over all, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Do you see the word obtained? Do you see what tense that is? It's a done. We have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. His good pleasure, his own will, he has done this. We have obtained this inheritance. Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted or first hoped in Christ. The praise of his glory. In whom ye also trusted or hoped, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Do you see that phrase keep coming up? To the praise of his glory. And that's this inheritance, that we would be to the praise of his glory. And we've been given this Holy Spirit. It's a guarantee of this inheritance. It's a guarantee. It's maybe you could even see it's the pledge of this inheritance. And we have that today. We have that Spirit inside us today. Not only sealing as a guarantee, as a pledge, but also sealing as a possession to God. It's his. We're his. We belong to him. His seal is upon us. Verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of what? Glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he's called the Father of glory. He is the source of all true glory. And what is glory but that beauty, that splendor, that excellence, that power and perfection and holiness. He's the Father of it all. The Father of glory. And he is not only God to Jesus Christ, but he is the Father of glory. And like we looked at last week, and we have been given the privilege to address him as Father, because he is. And why did we have this blessing put upon us? It's the good pleasure of his will according to his purposes and his purposes alone. You think about what a loving heavenly Father, and what blessing and grace has been shown upon us as his children, his people in this day and time. And that he has given us, we have obtained an inheritance. An inheritance. And that inheritance is an inheritance of glory. We'll see, even our very bodies will be changed And it will be, well, I don't want to, I'll say it'll be glorious. When we get to that verse, it's even better than calling something glorious. So we have that. Verse 18 again, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. You see, for the Christian, this inheritance of glory is a gift from God and is secured by the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, including eternal life and being in his kingdom, and the promises to be blessed and by living, and will be blessed to be living eternally, experiencing his glory. That's an inheritance, and that's a promise. And that promise was secured by the loving sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, where he has given us the right and authority to be the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God. And joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. To think about that we have that glory set before us as a promise. And we have that Spirit living in us today as a pledge of that promise. The guarantee of an inheritance of glory. Please turn with me to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. Just to sit down and think about the inheritance that's coming. The inheritance that is ours. It's a done deal that we have this inheritance. And you know, it's an inheritance we can't lose. Can you ever lose an earthly inheritance? Yeah. It can change. It can lose it. Philippians chapter 3. And in verse 20, for our conversation, and it literally means our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned or conformed like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. You see where it says glorious body? The wording is even more specific. It's a subtle difference, but it's huge to me. When I say, there used to be a flower there. If I say those flowers are glorious, I'm using glorious as an adjective describing the flower. But the literal of this verse is where it says, we'll change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his. It's the glory of his body. Do you see the difference between calling something glorious and when I use the word glorious as an adjective, it's a description. But when I say the body of his glory, it's the substance. It's the substance. And our humiliation, this body, none of us are completely happy with it. Be thankful that it's housing such a precious promises and treasure. But there's a coming day when our very body, this is part of our inheritance, our very body will be a body of glory like unto Jesus Christ, the body of his glory. And we'll be sharing in that. Does that just kind of, just ponder that for a moment. Just take a pause and ponder the body of glory that we will be changed like unto his body of glory. I think of that. And calling it a body of glory is so much bigger than just describing it as glorious. Flip the next book over, we can go to the book of Colossians. the book of Colossians, chapter 1. You know, that whole section in first chapter of Ephesians is just, if you're feeling down or whatever, just read that and see what God has done in our Lord Jesus Christ. The centerpiece of the praise of his glory. I think about that, where not only is that inheritance, you know, the glory of that, but God's inheritance in us, in the saints, is to the praise of his glory also. Think of the glorious salvation that we have, and he is glorified in that he has done this delivering salvation work in us too. So it's glory all the way around. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. I'll go back to verse 26 because we can. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but is now made manifest to his saints. Do you have any saints in here? To his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not only do we have his word that we can see, that we can read, that we can remember, that we have this inheritance where we'll share in the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but it's Christ in us. That indwelling Christ in us is the hope of glory. It's the proof, it's the evidence, it's the reminder, it's the motivator that indeed we have a true, a certain, and sure hope of glory that we will share with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the presence of the glory God. A couple weeks ago, we looked at that verse in Isaiah where the seraphim, remember those seraphims? They got the wings covering the feet, and then one they flew. And what was their job? What was their joy? What did they do all day long? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory. And it says in Revelation that he will live among us. The Father of glory. The source of all glory. The most glorious being ever will live among us. You want to talk about an inheritance? You want to talk about a promise that when the days look bleak, or maybe the world's tempting you saying, I've got something special. Maybe it's something you want. And then you think, I've got this. I've got this hope. I've got this glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, our hope of glory isn't based on our own hard work or our own devotion to God or our own power of our spirituality, but it's on the abiding, indwelling presence of Christ in us. And that is the hope of glory. Let's close this morning in the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, a little bit more about this inheritance that we have. This inheritance of glory. First Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see how many times when it's talking about inheritance, you also see this pronouncement? The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glories. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us. Again, unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance. And what kind of inheritance might that be? To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through the faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. It's an inheritance. It's an inheritance of glory. Guess what the glory of God never will do? Fade away. Be corrupted. Be defiled. Isn't that something? Can you imagine colors never fading? Glory. The glory of God. And that's the inheritance that we have. That's what God promised all the Christians. Oh, we should be so thankful that we're Christians. Yeah, we see things going on in the world today, and it looks like a darn scary place. And, you know, I think about that. That I reckon the sufferings of this present time aren't worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us, or upon us, or into us, whatever preposition you choose to place in there. People, differing opinions. But it's glory. It's a glory. Ultimately, it's the glory of God that we will experience. Think of the greatest thing you've ever experienced in your life, and then exponentially go above that, infinitely go above that. The glory of God that we will experience, that we will share with our Lord Jesus Christ, reserved in heaven, promised, given a guarantee, a pledge, where it's Christ in us, which is the hope of glory. What a blessing, huh? Mm-hmm. As we think about that, Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your precious promises. Thank you for the glory which you've promised unto us, the inheritance that we will share with each other and with our Lord Jesus Christ, to which we are thankful. In the name of Jesus Christ himself, we pray. Amen. Amen.